Gospel for today is from Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Here ends the reading of the gospel. You may be seated. God's beloved people, grace to you and peace from God the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this is not the sermon that I had written for today. So actually, none of the songs that I picked out match the message anymore, but you know, who cares? They're beautiful songs anyway, so sometimes you just got to go with it. But God gave me a different message for this morning, because I have been struggling lately. I've been wondering about the church in this country. I've been wondering about Christians in America today, and I've been wondering about pastors, too. What our place is, what our calling is these days. The church has kind of been under fire lately, you might have noticed. And I don't mean our church specifically, but the church in America, which we are a part of. What's our role in the current cultural and political context? I've really been struggling with that. Pastors are criticized these days for not saying enough, and we're criticized for saying too much. We are criticized, and I don't mean Todd and I specifically, I mean pastors in general. We're criticized for not standing up enough for immigrants and refugees in this country, and we're criticized for politicizing the gospel. In our own context here at Living Waters, if you say one thing, it would alienate half of our congregation, right? But if I said the other thing, it would alienate the other half. I think you all know that to be true. So it makes me wonder, what is it that we are supposed to be doing and saying in these troubled times? What is it that God wants us to be and do in the world right now? And what does God want me to say and to do personally? These are the questions I've been asking myself these days. A few days ago, a local news source posted a video online of a fight that happened at Apollo High School, maybe some of you saw it, which immediately became a political football about immigrants. But the deep suffering of our fellow human beings is not a political football, no matter which side you're on, and I think we would all agree about that. It cuts right through the heart of God, who loves them and created them in his own image and his own likeness. So what's a pastor to say in these troubled times? And what's our calling as Christians in America today? What are we even here for? That's what I've been wondering about. But on Wednesday morning, I was reading a book written by Henry Nouwen called The Return of the Prodigal Son, and there were a couple paragraphs in it that God took hold of and put wings on and flew directly into my heart for the bullseye. And I wanted to share those couple of paragraphs with you. Here's what he wrote. He said, "God rejoices. Not because the problems of the world have been solved, not because all human pain and suffering have come to an end, not because thousands of people have been converted and are now praising him for his goodness. No, God rejoices because one of his children who was lost has been found. now and continues, what I am called to is to enter into that joy. It is God's joy, not the joy that the world offers. It is a hidden joy. I'm not accustomed to rejoicing in things that are small, hidden, and scarcely noticed by the people around me. I'm generally ready and prepared to receive bad news, he writes, to read about wars, violence, and crimes, and to witness conflict and disarray. I always expect people to talk about their problems and pain, their setbacks and disappointments, their depressions and their anguish. Somehow, he writes, I have become accustomed to living with sadness, and so have lost the eyes to see the joy and the ears to hear the gladness that belongs to God and which is found in the hidden corners of the world. End quote. See, God's joy is hidden in the world, but we as his people are called to be seers and proclaimers of that great joy. We are prisoners of hope, and we are captives to this great joy that has come into the world in Jesus our Savior. God's joy is hidden in the world. Think about it. Mary came to the elderly Elizabeth with a baby hidden within her, right? The joy of the world, small as a mustard seed, hidden in the darkness of a teenage mother's womb. And the baby in Elizabeth's womb recognized the baby in Mary's womb and leaped for joy. And all of this while the world crumbled around them. There was the Roman occupation, political tensions running incredibly high. The world was a tinderbox, ready to explode. You could not have picked a worse time to be alive, nor a worse place. These were gruesome, brutal times, and yet here it was that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, one person, a teenage nobody, in one remote backwater corner of the Roman Empire, and in this one person, God hid his joy, the joy of the entire universe, the joy of the one and only Son coming into the world. God's joy is hidden in the world, and our task is, by faith, to see it. It's not that we ignore the suffering of the world or keep silent in the face of injustice, but it might be our greatest challenge as Christians in the world today to see the joy God has hidden in this world and the goodness of the people around us, every one of them created in his own image, and to see the small and quiet ways God is still at work in our world. I've been reading a book lately written by a woman named Tricia Walls. Some of you might know her. She's a young person living in the St. Cloud area. She experienced a remarkable healing of a kidney disease that she had some years ago and then decided to write about it more recently. But God got a hold of her idea of writing about it, and he planted the seed in her heart to record other young people's stories too, stories of God's amazing mercy in their lives. And so that's what she did. And as I read that book, I was moved to the core by the stories of these young people and God's work in their lives. Mark your calendars, by the way. She's coming to speak here at Living Waters to our young people on Wednesday, January 9th. And she'll share her story and other stories, too. Come and hear. They are all extremely Catholic stories, I would add. And you know what? I loved it because our world is just way too small to stay in our own little silos, don't you think? Religious, political, or otherwise. We have so much to learn from one another. So come hear the stories of how God is working in the lives of our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters in Christ right here in central Minnesota. See, we are called to testify to this hope that is within us and to this joy that is inconquerable and streaming from the heart of God. Let me end with a quick story of my own. It's nothing major. It's just one of the quiet little ways that God works in our lives. About a month or so ago, I was on my way home from our annual lutefisk dinner here at the church. Yeah, sure, you betcha. It was about 9:30 at night. If you recall, it was pretty cold out and snowy that night. I was headed down Benton Drive, right across from that little Shell station on the corner. I was just coasting into the stoplight when my car made a horrible cracking noise and then very abruptly thudded to the ground. And there I was in the middle of Benton Drive on a Saturday night. When I tried to put it in park, it made another weird, horrible noise, and still another one when I put it in neutral, a little bit like a dying cow. The mechanics here among us have already diagnosed it probably, but I had no clue. So I did what any good Lutheran does when your car falls dead in the middle of the road. I took out my pack of Lefse that I had just bought and had a piece. Why not? Then you call your husband at the Husky hockey game and give him that joyful news that he needs to leave the Husky game and come get you, and that your car is out like a light in the middle of Benton Drive. So I'm waiting for him to come get me, you know. But it's cold, too cold to sit there, and I don't dare turn my car on again, for all I know it will explode. So I get out, I walk over to the little Shell station there, and there's just one woman working that night, and it's closing time. So she's locking up and getting things shut down, but she lets me wait in there for just a little bit with her. So we get to talking, of course. And it turns out that she's newly divorced, just a week or two ago. They had been married for 20 years, but he was abusive, and she finally just had to leave. And now she has a place out in St. Joe, just an apartment, which isn't very close to her job there at the Shell station, and she's worried that her car isn't going to hold up through the winter, getting her back and forth to work. So she needs to find a better car. And then we talked about her kids, and we talked about her life, and we talked about what it's like to start all over again after all these years. No problems were solved. Nothing at all got fixed, not her car or mine. We were just two middle-aged women heading into the second half of life in a little gas station late on a cold Saturday night, sharing life together. And when I left, I felt warm inside. I felt love and loved. I felt hope and even a little glimmer of joy, because I felt the eternal affinity that we have with one another as children of the same God and sharers of this one earth together. Yes, there are a lot of terrible things going on out there right now, I know that, and there are injustices to address that cry out to the heart of God. But even so, right in the midst of it, I have this hope and I have this joy. Amen. We're going to sing a